Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
It is that time. It's the midweek edition. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, Danny Burke, producing and engineering. We are busy. We are ready for Oregon and Nebraska. We'll get Jay Bird's thoughts on the defense here shortly. And back in the day, and I remember watching Mad Men when it was on, you'd have radio and TV and all sorts of commercial ideas, right? You'd have creative. And if you could smell this room, it is a cough, cold, and flu commercial.
Mm-hmm. Ricola.
Right. And Bird, you've got the cough drop going. I've got a couple going in each jowl again so I don't crash and burn on air.
I have to be listening to yesterday.
You were pointing and laughing.
Well, no, I'm just like, uh-oh. Someone get in there and help the man out a little bit. No, pat on the back.
Or punch to the face, in the face. So, you're doing the cough drop thing, too.
Yeah, you can hear my voice is a little deeper than usual.
I like it.
It's a good radio voice, isn't it?
It's really pretty good.
And soothing tones.
Can I say cinnamon? Cinnamon to the front stage, please. Mm-hmm. Can I hear that? You not cinnamon?
No.
Cinnamon to the front stage, please. Yes.
Poll number two.
Yes, there we go. Okay, let's talk some football. Wow. Okay, Brad Edwards in 1 hour. ESPN Insider College Football Analyst. Brad will join us and get his thoughts on Nebraska, Oregon, some of the other monster weekend games. Bummed out, Arkansas State and the U are not going to play. Travel concerns, so you have no idea how good Arkansas State is or how young and green Nebraska is within this defense because, all right, maybe they do the same thing to Miami. You know Miami's good. You know Miami's talented. Are they vintage? No. You won't know because you don't get to see it. Thank you, Mother Nature. We're flipping you off lovingly, of course. We'll talk golf with Mike Shewhart. Shuey will be in 30 minutes. A jock doc. And then Charlie Meyer, Salt Dog Baseball, back in the postseason, hoping for the Dogs to put a title run together. Charlie Meyer will be with us in about 20 minutes to give us an update on Lincoln and how you can go watch some playoff baseball this fall with the Salt Dogs. And that is awesome to have happen at Haymarket with Lincoln Salt Dog Baseball and the great group down there, Brett and Charlie and Zoo and the gang. Down at Haymarket. Can join us, can tap the line, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Tap the line with Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Allows you to do that. And Jay, I want to get in here. We'll also hear from Danny Langsdorf, some of his reactions as he met the media yesterday. We've got a whole bunch of our favorite pirate, Mike Leach, with his press conference today. You know, we're going to have the Pirate on USC week. I think that is week three. It's the third week of September. And to be honest here, you know, a good write-up by Andrew Greif. He'll join us tomorrow, as will Ralph Brown. He had a good sit-down with Greg Smith on Buki. So you have what's going on in Oregon. Do you know anybody that's headed out to Oregon? I mean,
I know a lot of people.
A ton of folks are. Hail Varsity is bringing their full force out west to cover the game. Cranack is going. That could be dangerous. Mm-hmm. He will be in lieu of what the Pirate Mike Leach has been talking about. Cranack will get lost, bless his heart, on Friday
Maybe
night.
Find Bigfoot.
He'll try and
Aliens.
Find Bigfoot. Uh-huh. And so Cranack will be out there. I mean, the whole world's going west. And then you have these forest fires, and you have the air quality that's now, instead of hazardous, unhealthy, okay? So they're going to keep monitoring this thing all the way up until kickoff. Do you think there's any way they cancel this? Do you step in at the last minute and say, sorry, it's still unhealthy to play in? And I get student-athlete concern. I mean, yes, I care about student-athletes. I want you to be healthy. I don't want you to have black lung because of this. And maybe I'm exaggerating, but maybe I'm not. I don't know how much rain's going to happen out there. I don't know what type of wind shifting will go on. I remember when the fields burned down in Kansas, it hits north, and you have a few days during the summer or winter or spring or whenever it happens. I think it's spring, right?
Yeah, early spring. Yeah.
Early spring, where the wind will blow north from Jayhawk land, and it's toxic outside if you get the right whiff. So it'll be interesting to see if that's there. If you're a player, I mean, Oregon's bussing dudes, or they were yesterday, an hour from campus. If you're Nebraska, you just kind of drill down. Both teams want to play. And this is this matchup's going to be awesome because of where both programs are at. A little more stability with Nebraska because it's year three. A lot of familiarity because it's Riley. And then you have the Diaco-Taggart combination, which is cool because they've played each other the last 3 years. And there's really no advantage. You have Leavitt as defensive coordinator. You saw what he did in his second year at Colorado. Again, I say that on repeat. You saw what he did in his second year at Colorado with that system shift to a new defense, to a 3-4. That's what Nebraska's going through right now. We'll get into Oregon in a little bit, but there's so many cool storylines on top of a really good game, measuring stick game. How bad's Oregon? Where's Nebraska at? How good is Oregon? You know, what type of jump has Nebraska made defensively? What can the O-line and run game be like against a team with athletes in Oregon? So we'll get into all of that. I want your take, though, Bird. You watched Saturday. You're a black shirt. You're a proud Nebraska kid. You're a guy who sold out for the defense for all 5 years at Nebraska. And what did you think? What went through your mind? Were you, A, what were you expecting? Because you've spent a lot of time this summer with us and into this fall talking about how, just being brutally honest, how much transition can suck and just be a headache. What did you think of the performance? What did you think of the game plan? And are you worried about the defense?
Yeah, I'm not concerned. I mean, the performance, I thought, you know, the game plan in general was very basic, very vanilla. You saw, I mean, the 3-4 defense that I've played in, was not what they kind of put on the field. I'm used to seeing both outside linebackers kind of up in line of scrimmage, but that's the difference of playing.
Yeah, they were like back.
Yeah, they were off. I mean, they were, you know, technically like playing the slot, but no one was kind of there. but it's the difference of playing. You know, if they were a pro style offense, we got into 21. You're playing against Nebraska essentially. That's a pro style offense. You'd see more of that, but since it's a spread. I think they just were trying to limit. There's a lot. I mean, I was the first not to overreact. I know the transition, how difficult it is. I think you're going to see Gifford and Newby play on the field more times than not. I think Alex Davis is a liability in coverage right now. We kind of saw the wheel route, but I think he's going to play in obvious situations. Right, he's going to play in obvious situations, but it's more of rushing the passer when you have four down linemen and it's a nickel dime situation. But there was a lot. I think, I get fans' frustration with everything. I think they adapted a little bit. But I mean, just hearing Diaco's comments and everything he had to say Monday, I understand. You try to keep everything in front of you on film. They showed a lot of deep balls. I mean, that's okay. I mean, if you're gonna tell them to say, hey, you got to complete all these passes, you got to catch them. You know, we'll make plays on it. We'll keep you in second and five, second and six. I know that's, you're still kind of behind the chains as a defense, but it's better than give a big play. I get that. Where I was kind of disappointed was I thought the corners could have played more physically. And I'm sure Diaco and Dante and all those guys are telling them. I mean, they almost became another blocker because they played pretty soft. And they were kind of getting
10 yards off.
I thought they could have done a better job of getting off a block and just playing physical and shucking the guy. I mean, I thought it was – I mean, I don't know if they're hesitant waiting for a double move because that can happen in that situation where you have a guy that looks like he's going to block and all of a sudden you go up, you try, you bite on it and it's over your head. And I think they tried that a couple times. But it was a very conservative game plan. And I think it's just a little bit of everything. I think you saw the struggles. It's just about three main things in my opinion. It's Diaco not really having full confidence in – you know, the 11 guys in this defense yet, because you just don't know. You don't know what you're going to get in the first game. There's so many unknowns. The first game's the hardest. You could be in the best shape of your life. You come in that first game and you're gassed. You saw that. I mean, they're out there a lot. It was a no-huddle offense. It was fast-paced.
90 plays, damn near.
It's a lot. It's a lot to put on a defense. And I think that's a little bit of the struggle as well. You saw some bad techniques. I think guys just got tired, and that's going to happen in your first game. You're always the most tired in your very first game, just because you've never, the anticipation, the fans, the adrenaline, it's, you can't duplicate that in a scrimmage in front of no one on a Saturday afternoon in August. You just can't. You can't duplicate that. There was a lot. I think a pretty basic vanilla game plan, a little being tired, poor technique was just kind of the 497 yards explosion. I mean, again, I'm not overreacting. I think this team will continue to get better. The guys are continually improving, getting more comfortable. You're going to see different game plans. People are going to continue to throw bubble screens. They're going to do it. You just react and make a play. You know, that's what you got to do better. The corners need to play a little more physical when they come to block. Get off a block. Force a guy outside. Don't let him go. Force him inside. Don't let the guy go outside. I thought Eric Lee struggle a little bit in that situation. They play a little soft, but overall, I mean, I'm excited to see what the game plan is going to look like now. You know, are we going to see? I'm not really 100% familiar with Taggart and his offense, but I'm just wanting to see.
He
the
used
game
to be
plan.
A big time pro style guy, but he has gone to the spread, the tempo.
Yeah,
the
I mean, that's just
quarterback
that's,
run
it's
game
just in vogue. I mean,
he doesn't have that now with Herbert. But that's what he wants to get.
And that's
to.
It's easier to recruit nowadays in college football because every high school in the nation damn near is running a spread offense. It's because it's 7-on-7. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So it's easier to adapt your system when you're a quarterback coming in. That's what he's used to running, obviously. So I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned at all. I'm a little more concerned with Oregon this game. Last week when we talked, I said wasn't too concerned with Oregon. I'm a lot more concerned with Oregon now after just seeing – you just don't know. I just didn't know what to expect, you know, with this defense. And obviously we struggled. There were some struggles. There were some issues. And you'll get better game 1-2, 2-3. It will. But, again, you just don't know. You don't know what Oregon has. You don't – how good Southern Utah? Probably not very good, you know. And it's just – there's a lot. So it'll be exciting to see this weekend.
Okay, I got to ask you this about Nebraska's personnel on defense and what you had early on and then what was adjusted to. You had guys playing tighter, guys making more of an effort to do the block destruction. And you saw that with Boodle, you saw that with Lamar, you saw that with Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And what you did is you had the corner's job was to set the edge and a linebacker's job was to make the play. That was Newby. That was Barry, that was Gifford, and that was Weber. And occasionally, on the death by a thousand paper cuts bubble screen, Kalu, too. And when you would bring pressure, it was out of his hands in 2 seconds.
Right, I mean.
Okay? And they would just outnumber you. They'd send a guy in motion, be two blockers, and they'd find the back that's going lateral where the quarterback set up and just flip it to him. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska took a long time to adjust to it. And the positioning wasn't good because of the cushion. They were doing that so they don't get beat on the stop and go over the top based on what they'd seen from Arkansas State. And guys didn't make plays. They ended up kind of correcting and then getting better at it. But now you have this under your belt. You need to be physical. Is Nebraska fast enough? Because I don't know how many times I saw either Young or Newbie bite, and I mean, the other guys weren't perfect either, so I'm not just calling those two out, but with the play action, there'd be a step that was just wasted, and then you're behind the eight ball getting out there to make the play because your corner's supposed to set your edge.
Right.
And I could see Oregon saying, okay, a fourth of the yards gained, and Jacob Padilla crushed it with his tail on the tape on HailVarsity.com. Please read that on the bubble screens. Tail of the tape says a fourth of the yards were off of screenplays. 14 of 15 completion percentage on screenplays. Some of them turned in minimally, but there was one big play out of that. And early on, 13 of the 36 pass plays in the first half were screenplays. Nebraska started blowing those up in the second half. They went away from it. But the other side of this thing, too, Jay, is what do? You scream about pass rush. The guy's getting the ball out of his hand quickly. I think Oregon will probably try and do that. Oregon can go bubble screen. And, oh, by the way, they have a run game that they love. Mm-hmm. They have three backs that they love. They can just start hammering away at you with their run game design and then crush you off play action. To me, I look at the buzz of this Oregon game, and you're excited because it's Nebraska-Oregon, but I think there's a lot of shine off of this based on how your defense played in week one, where the reaction right now for Nebraska fan is, oh, God, they're going to go put up 150. Mm-hmm. That's not fair. That's not accurate. I think the defense will make a jump. But does Nebraska have the speed defensively to corral and make plays in space? And I ask that with the linebackers. That's my question. Yeah. Chew on that for a second. We'll come back to it. But that's what I, you know, when we're applying week one to week two, are the linebackers going to be better? Are they going to be faster? I thought Gifford was tremendous. Mm-hmm. Thought he had a really good second half. Some of his other mates, though, I don't think were as fast as they needed to be. Are you going to see more of Ferguson? Are you going to see more of Barry? More of your quick linebackers? You see more Avery Roberts on the field. We'll get into it. Charlie Meyer coming up. Brad Edwards on the way.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
That is awesome. See? I told you. It's a smoking chamber in here. Don't do it. I mean it. The cough drops, 40% gone. Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, Danny Burke, producing, engineering, contributing. Charlie Meyer coming up in about 5 minutes. Your Central Division champs and playoff bound. The Salt Dogs get rolling at 6:45 tomorrow against Winnipeg. Winnipeg's always been one of those squads where you're just like, yeah, those guys. So we'll get into the Dogs in a postseason chase here in a moment with Charlie Meyer. Spend some more time talking Nebraska and Oregon. Brad Edwards is 35 minutes away. And we'll also get caught up with Mike Shuhart. Shuey, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. If you plan to go out tonight and you have a couple, make sure you get home safe. And if you don't have that safe ride home, plan on doing it anyway, because while plans can change, one thing that won't is if you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI. It can cost you up to $12,000 in fines and in fees, jail time, and you'll be required to install that interlock device on your vehicle. So when you're making plans, make sure you find a sober ride home before you go out. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We welcome in President of the Lincoln Salt Dogs, another championship down at Haymarket. Postseason gets rocking tomorrow. The Gold Eyes, the Salt Dogs, and the Haymarket Park's where you got to be. Charlie Meyer is with us. Charlie, thanks for the time. How are you?
Doing great, Chris. We actually start tonight, so we got tonight and tomorrow night. So
okay, I am looking at the wrong date. Thanks for the help tonight, tomorrow, and throughout. So get on down all night tonight and tomorrow. Right on, Charlie. So hey, postseason, it's got to make you smile, doesn't it?
It does make you smile, and you know, when you look through the whole season, you play 9,900 games, and you get to this point, and you get some what I call bonus baseball with the playoffs, and so we get hopefully a week here and get three wins and move on and get into the championship series next week and see what happens. So hopefully we can bring another championship back to Lincoln.
Absolutely. How are the fellas feeling about this season and then the chance to continue on?
Yeah, they're excited. You know, it was fun to be down at the workout last night with them, and you know, I think it's Kurt Smith and the guys that played in the WBC, finals and that type of thing. As well, going back to Derek Gordon and all the players are excited about this opportunity, and so now we'll see what happens, and Winnipeg will be a great, great challenge for us. But these guys have been the cardiac kids all summer, and with 9 walk-offs at home, and it's been exciting baseball and fun to watch, and a lot of good things have happened this season.
Charlie Meyer is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Salt Dogs, another championship as they try and push for a league title. The Gold Eyes, the Salt Dogs tonight at Haymarket, 6:45 start time. Charlie, when you were putting this team together and you saw kind of, you know, the best case scenario out there, and clearly this team's been talented and there's been drama, but the drama's been good. When you mentioned the 9 walk-offs, what did you, when you kind of put a roster together and Manager Brown does the same thing with you, what are some of those kind of those that concrete DNA you want in a team? I mean, when you go out there and try and find players, yes, give me guys who can hit and pitch and field, but from a personality standpoint, how do you construct that?
Well, I mean, the roster is like a puzzle each and every year, but I think you got to build with good core leadership with veterans, and Kurt Smith obviously brings a lot of that to the table, and Sharon Martiz has been here on and off over the last 3 years, being called up and sent back down and that type of thing with organizations. And then the rookies have to perform. I mean, if your rookies don't perform, I've always said in the 17 years we've done this, if the rookies don't perform, you're not going to be in the playoff hunt. And we've had a couple of rookies that have played really well here down the stretch. Joe Robbins and Nathaniel Maggio, and these guys have contributed and have been the pitching. J.R. Bunda is coming out of the bullpen, has got 10 wins as a rookie. And a lot of good things have happened with these guys. And but it all starts, you know, with the core leaders, the guys that are in the clubhouse. And these guys literally have had fun all summer. I mean, it's been a fun group to be around. It'll be fun now to watch them here this, hopefully the next couple of weeks that we finish this off. But, you know, it's been a successful season and it's been a good season for these guys as well as for the fans to watch.
Salt Dogs President Charlie Meyer with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, the Dogs and Gold Eyes playoff baseball down at Haymarket. Charlie, with Winnipeg, how's the season gone for Winnipeg? Obviously, they're in postseason baseball. What makes them dangerous?
Well, they've got a great hitting lineup. That's what I would probably say, and they've got great pitching too. And they led the league in wins with 61. We had 58. So I mean, it wasn't like we weren't close to them. Obviously, they won the North Division, so they're defending champs. Coming around for the next round here to see if they can win back to back. Which, you know, how hard that is in sports, but they got an opportunity to do that. So they'll be a formidable foe for us. You know, like I said, our cardiac kids, these guys have always figured out a way to win the games. And so hopefully we could do that here the next 2 nights here in Lincoln and get on the road on Friday and get up to Winnipeg on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday and clinch it and come back next week and play some more playoff baseball. And, you know, just want fans to come out and enjoy this. We got 2 nights of it this week, and they're Buck Nights. You get dollar hot dogs, dollar sodas, dollar popcorn, dollar beers. Come out and have some fun and watch some Salt Dog baseball.
SaltDogs.com can log on, get your tickets that way to see playoff baseball tonight, tomorrow. And Charlie, I mean, the weather's there, okay? You got phenomenal weather, but you're making it affordable, which has always been your goal. But dollar nights, that's awesome, Charlie.
Yeah, no, just, you know, with the short notice here and not knowing when we would play and who we would play and that type of thing, we just thought, well, we'll just repeat our Thursday night Buck Nights and just do it for both Wednesday and Thursday and let fans – thank the fans for what they've done for us. I mean, it's the players even commented about that last night, about these fans have been with us all year, and now we'll hopefully give them an opportunity to watch some more playoff baseball here for the next 2 nights, and hopefully we'll be back next week to – make a run for the championship.
Go out, support the Salt Dogs. Gorgeous weather, playoff baseball. SaltDogs.com, where you can get your tickets for the Dogs and Gold Eyes tonight, tomorrow, and Dollar Night, as Charlie just mentioned to you. Charlie, a final thought. I saw that that Haymarket again named the top facility. That is kind of old hat, but it still needs to be appreciated. The crew and The upkeep on the park has always been tremendous. It's such a jewel for not only Lincoln, but the state of Nebraska. Folks from all over love coming to Haymarket. It's so pristine, and you got to smile about that, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's a lot of hard work from the staff, the turf crew, as well as the stadium operations staff. You know, it's a team effort. And as you said, it's a jewel. We're fortunate to have what we have here in Lincoln and the partnership with the University of Nebraska to share a facility. And you know, when you think about all the activities that are on the field throughout the year and to continue to be named Field of the Year for 17 straight years is quite an accomplishment when you've got new stadiums that are coming into the league throughout the you know, the years over this past 17 years. So it's been a great accomplishment, a great feather in our hat. And thanks to the crew and all the work that they do. And, you know, I was just talking with Winnipeg's manager last night. He goes, yeah, I just love playing here. And so, you know, they love coming here and we make it special. And Lincoln is a special place. And we're fortunate to be here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And again, these guys, I got a great staff. And you're only as good as the people you have around you. And I'm very fortunate to have a great staff here at Haymarket.
Charlie Meyer with the Salt Dogs with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Gold Eyes and Salt Dogs playoff baseball. Get down to Haymarket tonight, tomorrow. 6:45 first pitch, and you can log on, get your tickets. Dollar night going on both nights, saltdogs.com. Charlie, congrats on a tremendous year. Best of luck in the postseason. We'll catch up soon, and thanks for everything you've done with the Dogs and what you're doing in the capital city here with this baseball team.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the partnership with you guys. You guys are great to work with, and Alpha Media and the whole group out there. It's been a fun season. It's just hard to believe the summer's over, and we're playing fall baseball. So we'll see what happens.
That'll be awesome. Charlie, take care. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
There
Bye-bye.
He is, Charlie Meyer, president of the Salt Dogs, with us here. Hail Varsity Radio, Dogs and Gold Eyes. Get out and enjoy baseball. Fabulous night, and it is playoff baseball with the Winnipeg Gold Eyes. I thought it started tomorrow night. I'm to be slapped here shortly. It gets going tonight. But yeah, Mike Shewhart is on deck. We'll talk some golf with him. We'll get into some Nebraska. Bert, I want to get into something here on Twitter. And at JMoore44 is where you find and follow Jay. So you had a chance to talk to the masses after the Nebraska escape against Arkansas State, and you heard the crowd, you saw the crowd on social media like I did about a lot of defensive coordinators out there. They didn't know what to expect, but they didn't want that.
Right.
was their message. You had a word and a thought, huh?
Well, I just watched the game. I had my little man, so I wasn't, you know, had him during most of the game, so I wasn't able to spend much time on social media. So the next morning,
did he start swearing?
No, he about, you know, I thought he was there for a second, but he kept it, you know, he was cool and calm. So just going through social media next morning and just, you know, friends and all these people giving their thoughts and takes on Diaco and the defense and, you know, not him, you know, him not showing up for the post game press
just
conference, whatever.
Miscommunication.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. No big deal. And I just said, apparently, everyone thanks for a defensive coordinator now, because usually it's, you know, run the ball guy or their OCs, but now it's everyone just wanted to turn Diaco into a punching bag. And so my responses were, most people are like, yeah, everyone needs to chill out. First game, everyone was pretty understanding, but I was, you know, some people were saying, well, I pay a lot of money for my season tickets and I pay a lot of money to go to these games. I expect a better product. And I'm like, huh. I mean, that just kind of, it was interesting. I mean, it's just funny. I mean, I get what you're saying, but it's an option, you know. No one's forcing you to go, you know, and they won the game. You know, it's, I think this year with this defense, I think it's going to be a week by week process. I really do. Every game's going to be different. There's going to be different issues. They'll probably play the bubble screen great this next game and have something else that people are going to complain about. So, you know,
no, offense going to have to score quite a few this season.
Yeah, 35.
And hold on to the football, and the defense needs to keep progressing. Thanks to Charlie Meyer. That is Jay Moore. I'm Chris Schmidt. Mike Shewhart. Shoey, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It is that time, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Mike Shewhart, Shoey is in the house. He's got the jacket on. It is just beautiful weather outside. Jay Moore is either laughing at me or having a spell.
Trying to cough quietly.
Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke is with us. Danny's like, I'm wearing one of those things you wear in surgery.
Hazmat suit.
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. Like Michael J. Fox. Mm-hmm. And Back to the Future. How about we talk bargain time when it comes to clubs and the bargain bin. Demo clubs this week at Wilderness Ridge. Fill your bags with new swag. Visit the Pro Shop this Saturday, September 9th, for rock bottom prices on new demo golf equipment. Then get out and swing like that pro you are or want to be, and sure, we can help you get there on the championship course. September 9th, demo club sale, $10 off all SM6 and Cleveland wedges, $50 off Scotty Cameron's. That is awesome. And a sneak peek at the inventory, Titleist hybrids, fairways, and drivers. That's the 915 hybrids, Titleist 917 fairway and drivers, Wilson D200 drivers, Wilson D300 drivers and fairways, also Mizuno 850 fairways and irons. Make that tee time today at Wilderness Ridge, and check them out this Saturday when it comes to the Bargain Bin Demo Club Sale, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. Shui, you're busy.
Wow, that was a lot of stuff, man. If you can't find something in all that stuff, then you need
some
to
some of us need to come just oops, I lost this club that I can't hit anyway. I'm going to come see the bargain bin. And Bird, you know a lot about equipment and options too. That sounds like a pretty good deal on Saturday.
No, it's always a good deal. You know, this is the best time of year to, you know, the new stuff's coming out, so you can get the stuff that came out last year for pretty damn cheap.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. So there's some really good stuff there.
Chewy, what's the advice you have when it comes to a guy wants to either up his game or up his investment when it comes to gear? And I'm not asking for an endorsement on what to buy or who to go with club-wise or brand-wise, but just that transition part, because you're teaching guys that will come see you or gals that come see you and say, listen, I've struggled with inside 100. I'm struggling with my second shot. Off the box, I've got a blindfold on, okay? I have invested in a better driver, a more expensive driver, and I need to hit it.
Sure. I mean, like, when you're looking at clubs, that's one of the things I always look at and I tell all my students. I said, if you're going to invest in something, it's got to meet three criteria.
Okay, three.
It's got three, man. It's got to look good. So when you put it down on the ground, man, it's got to look good to you, right?
Look good, play good.
It's got to feel good when you hit it. And the most important, it's got to perform. Okay. So it's got to perform. So you'll find something out there that'll actually meet all three of those criteria. Because you get a lot of clubs that have a lot of hype behind them. You look down at it, man, it doesn't look right to you, whether it's the color, whether it's just the shape of it, whatever. I mean, that's just a psychological thing that you'll have trouble with initially. You know, you maybe can overcome that because, man, it feels really good and it really goes good. You'll get used to that, but most of the time you don't. Because you'll find something that actually will look good, feel good, and it really performs, you know. And most people do. Technology is technology, man, and it's not getting worse. It's getting better, you know. So it's like you have to take advantage of the technology that's out there that can help you basically perform better.
And take advantage of the technology that allows you to get fit properly.
Yeah.
Because nowadays with the TrackMans, the flight scopes, the you name it, the how they can track spin. I mean, if you're going to invest the money, do it right. Mm-hmm. Don't just go by off the rack. Unless you know you've been fit. Like, listen, I'm off the rack. I am standard loft level lie. Go take the time. Take an hour or two, whatever, to get fit properly. Yeah. Because, I mean, it could look good and feel good, but you swear to God, you made a great swing, but that thing just went dead right. Well, it probably lies a little too upright for you, a little too flat for you, or something. You know, you got to take the time because you're doing a disservice if you don't.
That's the other cool thing about the technology is the adjustability of the new. Almost every company has the adjustability of their technology, so it's like right then, easy, quick, man. You can make adjustments that make massive differences to help a player do what it is they're looking for, from changing the loft, changing the lie of the golf club, changing the weighting of the golf club, and they make massive differences on how it can affect somebody performance.
We need a t-shirt for Shuey. His picture, we can do a cartoon picture. I love those. I used to have an old Jordan cartoon t-shirt back in the day. Look good, play good, got to perform.
Got to.
That's the Shoei motto.
And, I mean, and with the advantage of the TrackMans and, you know, the flight scopes and all that stuff, sometimes the grass isn't always greener with getting a new technology. Some people might think this is going to, what I have, but this is going to be better. Yeah. I've done that myself. I've looked at different drivers in three woods this year, and they couldn't even come close to what I'm playing. So I'm like, sweet, save me some money. But you go through that process, compare what you have, if you're fit properly, to maybe something new. It might not be. What you have now could be exponentially better.
Just got to get hone in on it. Shoei, I mean, you've played on the Pro Tour for years, and you're always tweaking and touching up your game to be the best you can be. You never settled. You're never satisfied. Do you remember having a kind of a leap of faith moment where you went to a different club because you thought it would help your game, and it did follow through, and it was great. It worked out, and I'm sure that it's not always been batting 1,000 either when you've made a switch to either wood or iron or I mean the putter even. I mean, tell me about your experience with that.
You know, this is dating myself a little bit, but
we're all about the experience here, Shoei.
So Cleveland came out. This is way back. So they started coming out with metal woods, right? Mm-hmm. So when I first started on tour, man, I played wooden-headed clubs.
Okay.
Persimmon.
Yeah, persimmon. Mm-hmm. Wood. Most of those young kids, they don't even know what that even looks like. But so they started making metal woods. So Cleveland came out with this prototype. It was called a launcher. It was a metal wood. So they wanted me to try it. So I tried it, man. 7.5 years later, I played that thing for 7.5 years. So I was out playing with it. I love that thing. It worked pretty good, too. So I hit his tee shot.
You're looking nostalgic talking about it.
And this ball did something that's like, what was that? You know, man, it didn't go anywhere. It went offline. So I'm like, And I thought I made a pretty good swing at it. So the next hole, same thing. And so I was stupid enough to hit it again. So the third hole, it did the same thing. And I finally looked down on it, and there was a crack right across the middle of the face. Mm. So 7.5 years was about the length of that
thing. Was there a moment
of
silence? So
it was, man. I almost cried right then.
So, how long did it take you to find a replacement then? Because that's not easy.
I've never have.
Really?
I mean, I found something that's close, really close. That works kind of like it did, but it took a long time. And they had made me up two or three other ones that were just like that, but it just was not.
Wasn't it?
It's crazy.
This wasn't it. It's crazy how that works, you know? So, yeah, that was a leap of faith to get something that really worked, man, and I played it for a long time, and then when I lost it, it was like, oh, boy, that was devastating.
That was not good. Well, this Saturday, get out to Wilderness Ridge and check out the club selection. They have some bargains. Way to up your game, and Shoei can help you perfect that. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Membership, benefits, and pricing. Listen, if you've been playing a few times, but you're just not sure about that membership option, talk to the guys at Wilderness for sure about the benefits, the pricing. Spring is a ways off, but there's lots of great fall golf. There's great price specials on the Talon course and the championship course. Hope you enjoyed the weekend also with some of their holiday specials. Chris Thompson and, of course, Mike Shoehart, Shoei, back for a little more of the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. We'll get into Kate Smith and what she did for the Big Ten, Husker Golf, rocking and rolling. A quick timeout. We'll spend more time Oregon, Nebraska. Brad Edwards coming up too. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider, College Game Day. His thoughts on Nebraska, Oregon, Husker Golf, and Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Mike Shoehart, Shoei is in. And tell me about Kate Smith, sophomore, capturing the Big Ten Golfer of the Week honors.
How about that, man?
High five, huh?
Pretty good.
All right. You got to be smiling.
Yeah. She's not too happy. She didn't have her best stuff.
Okay.
Which is nice in a way, because if you don't have your best stuff.
And you still get it.
And you still finish like you finished. Yeah. It's like, man, just think what happens when you have your best stuff. So, yeah, she's really solid. I mean, we did a lot of really good things in our first tournament. We finished second. Obviously, they wanted to win, felt like they could win, but we did a lot of good things. And part of that is putting yourself in that position and getting more comfortable and kind of learning what you have to do, you know, so. Yeah, it was good. It was great for her. She's a good player. We have a lot of good players.
What's on the horizon? I mean, what's the schedule like for you?
We're home this week doing some qualifying, and then we leave next Friday to go to Wisconsin. Yeah. So we play. It's called the Big Ten Match Play, which is a really cool event because they started this about 3 or 4 years ago. And because the NCAA tournament, the final eight that make it to the final eight, they play match play.
Okay.
So all season, you never really play a match play event. It's all stroke play events. Mm-hmm. So they started this to get teams kind of accustomed to and playing in a match play type of format. So we went out and played at Michigan a couple years ago and played, and it was really fun. So we're looking forward to going out there and playing a little match play.
I know we got a couple minutes left, but I see that Golf Week magazine with Justin Thomas. I want to ask you, I haven't seen you in forever doing the show, them moving the PGA down to May.
Yeah, how about that?
To get, you know, the FedEx Cup's going on right now. But how's that going to affect, you know, the tour guys are fine, but those 20 guys who qualify, mm-hmm. who are from the Northeast or Nebraska or Ohio, to get your games right to go play in a major golf tournament?
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be different. I mean, you're going to have to kind of reschedule a little bit different to get yourself ready.
Get down to Florida and Arizona a few times.
Exactly. So,
do you like the move? Do you get it?
I like it for the tournament. I like it a lot for the tournament. You know, not so advantageous to those guys.
Well, what about playing? I mean, you could get some. You play up at Baltusrol or some of New Jersey. You can get some chilly days in early May. Potentially,
it's going to be a lot different. I mean, just the potential of the weather being different than what you're used to playing it in. You know, and where they're going to play some of their venues at that time of the year. Man, you can get some little frosty in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Golf course is going to be different too, man. They're going to be lush.
Mm-hmm. Thick.
So thick, long, rough.
Don't have to worry about the firm greens. Don't have to worry about the heat.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like it. I mean, I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Shuey, you cranked up for the football this weekend?
I'm always cranked up.
I know you are. You love some football. You're smiling. You got Oregon, Nebraska. It'll be
a fun one to watch.
It'll be good. Excited
it'll be
about
another
it.
Shootout game.
Perhaps. Yeah. I think you're
bet the overs.
You're leading. And there we go. If you're wondering what to do with Junior's College Fund, Jay Moore with some advice. Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, Husker Golf with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Should we hang out if you want, brother?
I will.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
I want to remind you to join KFOR at ESPN for Kids World Saturday, September 30th at Speedway Village. They'll be joined by some of our awesome community partners for a day of fun and just important activities. Tons of bounce houses, mobile video game, obstacle course, and, of course, food vendors. Log on, kidsworldlincoln.com. We'll qualify you twice next hour for Nebraska Northern Illinois tickets. Brad Edwards is coming up. Hour 2 of Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Into Hour 2, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. Husker Golf, Wilderness Ridge, Mike Shuhart. Shuey still hanging out. Danny Burke producing, engineering, contributing. As we will get into Nebraska and Oregon and still kind of up in the air with the wildfires going on. That'll be an ongoing storyline. College football week 2, a ton of great matchups, a great opening weekend, and we'll get thoughts on Nebraska heading off to Oregon from Brad Edwards as he joins us now. ESPN Insider, College Game Day, ESPN Radio at J Brad Edwards on Twitter. Brad, did the opening weekend live up to the hype for you? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. You know, the best part of it was actually Sunday and Monday night.
Yes.
Those games were fantastic. Just it goes to show when you get, you know, two pretty evenly matched teams that neither one plays great defense, you get some exciting football. it's when you get two good defenses like Alabama, Florida State that you if it weren't such a highly ranked matchup, you might fall asleep.
No, you're right, and both those defenses flew around, and Bama's kind of like a boa constrictor. They just kind of get around you and start squeezing, and there it goes. I want to focus a bit on Nebraska and Oregon here, Brad, before we get to some national stuff. And what's your reaction? Around here, there was the sky is falling in a lot of corners because of the defense, the transition. It's been a storyline, and Arkansas State did a lot against Nebraska, but Nebraska able to hang on and win. There were some good things Nebraska did, not only adjustment-wise defensively, but also on offense. What was your takeaway? And from a national perspective, what's your take on Arkansas State? What's your view on that team? Is it a quality team, a good program? Not that Nebraska should be clinging to life with a 7-point lead with 11 seconds right. left, but how do you kind of shake out from that win for Nebraska, and what's your impression of Nebraska moving forward?
Well, Arkansas State if you've paid attention yes. over the last, I don't know how many years, probably almost a decade now, they've been a really solid program, even with just a tremendous amount of coaching turnover. This is actually the first time they've had any coaching stability in quite a while. They used to get a new coach every year, but they have continued to be one of the better teams, if not the best team, in the Sun Belt year in and year out. Now, it's still the Sun Belt compared to the Big Ten, and you wouldn't think that even the best team in the Sun Belt should be, taking you down to the wire if you're a top 25 program. And look, Nebraska's still trying to get back there, and so I think you got to kind of keep it in perspective, especially with some of the changes that they have this year. So, all that said, I think Arkansas State, I don't pay a lot of attention to them, but mm-hmm. some of the people that I know that do were really big on their quarterback coming into this year, thought that he would have a big year, and I'd say they might be right. So I don't know that there's any shame in it. It's just kind of the first game like that, just survive. Unless you're in a playoff chase, which I don't think Nebraska is there yet, then the style points don't really make much of a difference now. It's just get the W, get out of there. And this weekend is going to be a big game for really both teams in terms of showing people where they are. We were talking earlier on our conference call about Oregon, and Oregon is one of the teams that, based on their result this weekend, we'll know whether we need to start talking about them as a dark horse contender in their conference. And if Nebraska were to go in and pull the upset, I think the same thing would be said there. People would all of a sudden start to take notice of Nebraska. They'll forget what happened against Arkansas State. If they beat Oregon, people will start to mention Nebraska as maybe a team with a chance to win the Big Ten West.
A few minutes here. Brad Edwards with us, Hail Varsity Radio, ESPN.com magazine, and ESPN Radio College Game Day. At J. Brad Edwards on Twitter, we're talking Nebraska, Oregon. Now, this matchup is really juicy because, you've got Taggart, you got his culture, and his coaching staff looks tremendous. Oregon's, listen, they bottomed out last year, but they still have speed and athletes, and maybe the thing that Oregon's been missing for a little while post-Kelly was some toughness, and I think Taggart will bring that. And plus, it's not that stretch of an offense from what he was running down at South Florida to what Oregon's been doing. Oregon's unique, but it's still going to be a spread. And then you have Nebraska with Coach Riley, and he goes back to Autzen maybe if the air quality permits. And he's kind of a homecoming for him at a place that wasn't real kind to him throughout his career. And you've got a quarterback that
he
fits.
He had a lot of others, by the way.
Right on, yeah. You don't go to Autzen and get out of there too often, if at all. But Tanner Lee, man, he looked really good. The offensive line looked good. Nebraska ran the football for over 200 yards. I mean, there's some things to build on. If you were to give me a couple of keys, Brad, isn't it on this Nebraska offensive line and the run game to kind of do ball control and kind of hammer away at this Oregon defense? Is that how they win?
Yeah, well, they're definitely going to have to score a lot of points. I would say right now Nebraska's going to need to score at least 40 mm-hmm. if they're going to win. It's going to have to be a shootout because not only is Oregon a good offensive team and Nebraska may have some concerns defensively, but in that stadium, when they get going, it's a smaller stadium, and then a lot of people are surprised by how loud it is. But when they get going with that tempo, if they score and then get a turnover or three and out and score again, it just, unlike a lot of other places, it feels worse there if you're the opponent and things start rolling in the wrong direction. So They got to be careful there. As you said, if they can run the ball and milk some clock, that kind of helps as far as momentum. But the most important thing is you just got to answer their scores, whether you do it quickly or whether you do it slowly. When they score, you can't give the ball right back to them. You got to find a way to answer. And obviously, if you're going to have a chance to win, you got to find a way to get some stops, whether you're forcing punts or just forcing turnovers. That's the key to beating them, and Nebraska's offense is going to have to be on its A game for sure.
The offense will have to be incredible. Defensively, that's where I'm intrigued as well. How much of last week was have fun? You're all new in this defense. Go out there and try and play fast for your first time. And then Arkansas State was really smart with the bubble screen attack, and Nebraska was also very conservative, not wanting to give up the big play. You know, what's Oregon do? Yeah, they're going to run Freeman a ton, but do they try and go bubble screen route, or do they try and hit it up deep? Herbert's a really high-level thrower. He's won the job again. He's not a run guy, but he is a pass-first quarterback that has some touch and some talent. You know, how do you go about this defense? There's still a lot to find out, Brad, don't you think, about this Nebraska defense?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of everything from Oregon. I don't expect them to just really focus on one particular thing. I think they're just going to go out and do what they do. I can't say specifically for Taggart because where he's coached previously, I haven't watched him as closely. Mm-hmm. I do know the previous Oregon coaching staffs, when they were really good on offense, that was kind of their MO. They're just going to do what they do, and they're not going to adjust unless you start having some success stopping them. And I would think the same thing would apply here. Is, you know, when Oregon has a quarterback who can throw to go with, you know, what's usually first-class running back in the backfield, then they have options. There are a lot of ways they can beat you, and so, like I said, it's really about just finding a way to get a stop, and sometimes that's you know, being able to force a turnover. Doesn't matter how you do it. I think the other question is, how good is Oregon's defense? Because the last 2 years, they've been off. I mean, last year, we said they can't get any worse, and they may have. So this year, we'll say it again, they can't get any worse. They certainly look better in the opener, whatever that's worth. But this will be their first big test in terms of their defense and, you know, how much progress they've made.
Brad, I'm going to head a little more national. I'll head and talk about a couple of our old friends from the Big 12, Texas A&M and Texas. A couple of rough starts for them, too. Some very unrealistic.
You miss them, don't you?
Yeah, just Jay. A little bit. Some very unrealistic expectations for a few of those fans down there. Who has a bit of a struggle left this season between those two teams?
Yeah, this is a great question. I mean, look, even Baylor, the way that
them too, yeah.
Their bar had kind of been raised in recent years. I know after last year, they kind of came back down to earth, and I don't think their expectations were out of line for this year. But that was an embarrassing loss for them, too. But I think I was more surprised by Texas. Certainly, I didn't expect Texas to lose. I thought A&M was going to lose going into the game. When they got up by 34, I didn't think they were going to lose. So whose loss was worse? That's kind of difficult to say. I mean, Texas, when you consider that they scored 3 non-offensive touchdowns in that game.
Wow.
I mean, they were beaten a lot worse than the final score suggests, and they were physically dominated in that game by, and you guys know what Maryland is. You're in the same conference, so it's not a team, you know, known for flexing its muscle. And the way that they just, you know, took it to Texas pretty much from start to finish was alarming, especially when you consider how many returning starters Texas had on both sides of the ball. This was a team that had a lot of experience, and you know, a lot of people said last year, as Charlie Strong was trying to hang on to his job, that if he could survive, he would have a really good team this year just because of how much he had coming back. So whether it was him or Tom Herman, you expected a lot more from Texas in the season opener, especially against a team that you figure doesn't have as much talent as they do. You know, with A&M, to me, Kevin Sumlin at this point is dead man walking. I didn't think there was any way he was going to survive this year anyway, just because I felt like with no quarterback, his best case was going to be like 7-5. Mm-hmm. I thought that was as well as he could do, and I didn't think there's any way that would be enough to save his job. So what A&M has to decide is their expectation for this program based on most of their history? You know, where for most of A&M's history, they have not been, you know, a team that's competing for conference titles on a regular basis. They've been, you know, a team that, you know, 9 wins is a good season. But if you look at their resources, you know, financially, you look at their facilities, you look at the recruiting base that they have, you know, within a short radius of their campus, to me, Texas A&M, they should be a perennial top 20 program and, you know, competing for national title every now and then. That's what they should be. And so I will be really surprised if Kevin Sumlin survives this, because I don't think it's realistic for him to be able to win 9 or 10 games. And that might be what it takes for him to keep his job.
Brad, a thought on Auburn, Clemson, and Ohio State, Oklahoma, and we'll round out with SC Stanford, those three big games this weekend.
You know, Clemson was as impressive as you can be against that level of competition. You can't read too much into it. Auburn played maybe a little bit tougher opponent, but not much, and mm-hmm. Auburn kind of struggled. And so with the game being at Clemson, I fully expect Clemson to win. Looking forward to really seeing both quarterbacks mm-hmm. and how they play against tougher defenses this week. With Ohio State, Oklahoma, this is a huge game for the Big 12.
Yep.
Because if Oklahoma loses and it's not competitive, we may already be in a situation where someone has to run the table in that conference in order to get in the playoff. Because I'm just not sure anyone other than Oklahoma in this particular game can get a quality non-conference win. Big game for the Big 12. And obviously, if Oklahoma wins it, you can almost pencil them into the play. You can at least say that they're going to be in the Big 12 championship game, and if they win that game, they'll be in the playoff. Mm-hmm. So big game there. Ohio State, obviously, you know, I think with what they gave up on pass defense last week, especially in the first half of that game, you know Baker Mayfield's a better quarterback than what Indiana has. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Oklahoma's receivers are better than Indiana's, but their offensive line certainly is on top of the quarterback. So I'm also looking forward to seeing how well Oklahoma can move the ball. Because I still think Ohio State is a really good defense in spite of that. And then, you know what, I'm not going to overreact to USC struggling against Western Michigan last week, but I do think that Stanford may be a much tougher team than a lot of us thought coming into the season. And this is obviously a big game for both teams. It's not a divisional game in the conference, but considering that both teams are in a position to contend for a playoff spot, you don't want to lose one this early, and someone's going to. And I think this is going to be one of those games that's going to tell us a lot about both teams. But certainly, it's going to put the winner in a much better spot than the loser.
College Football Insider Brad Edwards, ESPN.com and magazine. Of course, you watch him on College Game Day. You hear him ESPN Radio Game Day at J. Brad Edwards on Twitter. Brad, we'll catch up with you soon, probably next week again. Thanks for giving us a few minutes and taking us around the college football weekend. And thanks for your thoughts on Oregon, Nebraska. Appreciate it.
I always enjoy it.
Talk to you later. Awesome. There he is, Brad Edwards with us. You know, we left off Boise and Wazoo, Washington State, but we'll get back around to the pirate mm-hmm. and aliens and
Bigfoot
and all of that here coming up. So, yeah, the pirate, we'll get pirate on the SC Washington State week.
He'll be in rare form, I know.
No, pirate's awesome.
That means I'm in rare form, that's just him.
Yeah, just
that's just him. Yeah, that's Mike Leach.
We'll have to get his thoughts on Ozark, because I'm sure he's watched. Oh, binge-watched mm-hmm. Ozark. And he'll have a thought or two. Rick, I think Rick might like Ozark. I know Rick will show you some sparkliness that you'll like and she'll love. That is Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. See how beautiful pure-grown diamonds are. They're real diamonds, 100% real, grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds, and they're some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln Rod West, in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert. Let's talk about Andrew Luck. He has been ruled out for week one. What's going on with Luck? What's been ailing him? And tell me about his recovery process.
You know, it sounds like this injury problem for him started in 2015, but, you know, continued to play through it, did some rehab for it. finished up this most recent season and still just really struggling with his velocity. It sounds like there were some stability issues as well. Again, this is on his throwing shoulder. And so elected at the end of the season to undergo surgery. And essentially what the diagnosis was, you know, some instability of the shoulder and a tear in the labrum. So anatomically speaking, the labrum is basically a rubber kind of ring structure that sits around the socket. The shoulder obviously is a ball and socket joint. Although the socket in the shoulder is not as deep as, say, like in the hip. Mm-hmm. At any rate, there's a ring structure that sits around the labrum, around the socket called the labrum. And so it kind of helps to center the ball portion in place. You think about the complex movements that kind of flow through a shoulder when you're a throwing athlete, much different than other joints. And so having something that's just a little bit off, like a labral tear, can really kind of make the ball portion, if you will, kind of sloppy in the joint, which can change some of your velocity. And so that's kind of the issue he was having. You know, clearly they haven't described exactly what he was feeling, but I would imagine the throwing part as well as the hitting part was causing a big issue stability-wise. So underwent a stabilization procedure where essentially they go in, they repair the labrum back down to the socket by sewing that back down, and then usually there's some work around the other tissues in there to kind of realign things. But a long recovery, nonetheless. You know, typically these are injuries that we see in our linemen or non-kind of throwing athletes where they'll have some instability, and it's a much shorter recovery for them. But you start taking care of these problems in the throwing athletes, and it's a completely different kind of recovery and return program for a throwing athlete versus just a generic running back, receiver, lineman type.
Dr. Brandon Seifert with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking Andrew Luck and his shoulder. That is pretty severe when you just lay out there what usually happens here. I mean, Luck's been taking a beating for a long time, and I have to assume this is not an overuse issue. It's just a let's hit the field turf one too many times issue, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, it can be a combo of things, you know, kind of that chronic repetitive trauma to the area. You obviously could have been a one-time deal where you get sacked, you kind of land on that outstretched arm. Those are pretty typical, but yeah, you're right. I mean, he really has taken a beating back there, especially at that 2015 season for sure.
Well, let's talk about his recovery, and he's still not back for week one. Are you surprised by that, too? Is it okay to be cautious with it and with this procedure on the labrum, specifically when you talk about the repair and the socket that was done? Can he get back to his old form with this repair, or is there always going to be a hitch in his giddy up because it is shoulder surgery on his throwing shoulder?
Yeah, you know, great questions. You know, the first thing, you know, you look at kind of recovery timetable for him. So we're talking January surgery. Here we are, August, early September, looking at a good, you know, 8 months of recovery at least. That's about, you know, typical for somebody to come back and start throwing at that high level. You know, granted, there's a little bit of variability there, but really in your high-level throwers like that, I think you want to try to push them out a good 7 or 8 months before they really start getting after it throwing-wise. You know, maybe even wait 9-10 months with those folks. If you take a baseball pitcher and they have this procedure done, one, it's going to be really challenging for them to get back to the same level. Two, you'll probably hold them out a little bit longer. There's even more of those kind of forces that are translated through that shoulder with a baseball pitching motion. There's just more kind of rotation and excursion that goes to the shoulder as opposed to quarterback throwing. There's not as much kind of range of motion that goes through it. At any rate, I think it's a fairly standard recovery. When you look at somebody like him, you know, what is this going to do for him and his career? You know, that's always our big concern. You know, you and I have talked a lot about, you know, these shoulder injuries and our throwing athletes, overhead athletes, and it does change them. And so there's definitely going to be some questions about velocity for him. You know, he's a guy that could really, you know, launch the football. Is he still going to have that ability to do so? If he's not, you know, then you take a guy like him with his football smarts, and he probably still gets by really well with doing maybe some shorter stuff. Obviously, defense is going to try to adjust to that, but I think he still could get by and be a, you know, still a tremendous, you know, passer. It may not be with the same velocity as before. Those would be some things that I'd be concerned about. In addition to that, you know, what's the re-injury risk on these things? You know, the reality with fixing labrums is in a high-level sport, especially as you go up into the NFL and those huge bodies hitting you, there's probably a 10 to 20% recurrence risk of instability, which is a real risk. I mean, obviously, you're going to take that risk if you're Andrew Luck, but that's out there.
You mentioned the re-injury risk. How is this different than what Cam's been able to come back for? Because he's slated to start behind center on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, great question. That was kind of the big thing that's been out there in terms of recovery is, hey, let's compare, you know, Luck to Newton. Totally different procedures that were done. And so you look at a Luck, he was a, you know, labral stability repair, which those always take a lot longer to put back to heal. When you look at somebody like Newton, his was more of a cleanup of the rotator cuff. I don't believe they actually did a cuff repair. If they did, it was a real small partial repair. So two kind of completely different processes. Usually you're going to get a lot better healing out of the cuff. In terms of recovery, it's going to usually be a faster time, but still, you're operating on, you know, a thrower shoulder. That definitely creates some concerns about, you know, going forward for both of them. But again, I'm not surprised with what Cam Newton had done that he's already kind of back in action.
You know, I look at Andrew Luck, and I mean, number one pick overall, playoffs his first year, just incredible. And then it's just continued to kind of go downhill, and the pieces around him have kind of evacuated, and the defense isn't what it was when he got to the league. And this is kind of a sad story, isn't it? Not just the injury side, but just look where his career is trending now, and it's not through anything he's done. He's still smart. He's super tough. He's extremely intelligent. He's talented. But it's just, this feels kind of like a crossroads, Dr. Brandon, with the injury and the performance combination, and now he's trying to come back, you know, seven, eight, 9 months later here with this shoulder.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, and just, he's just a, you know, tremendous athlete. He's an easy guy to root for. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
He's a great guy. But yeah, I agree. It's definitely a crossroads in his career. You really do worry about that, you know, and obviously not having all those pieces around you makes life pretty tough. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to shift your game, you know, let's say that, you know, he does start to have some issues with that velocity. Now he does have to kind of make some changes in how he plays the game. That makes it really tough to do that if you don't have those pieces around you either. And so, yeah, I have some real concerns about it. Obviously, I'm sure he's got some concerns about it. I'm hopeful that, you know, he can overcome this. You know, you got to look at other examples too, though. You know, sure, there's unfortunately tons of examples of quarterbacks and throwers who have had what he's had for surgery and never made it back. But then what about a guy like a, you know, a Drew Brees who had, you know, even worse shoulder injury than Andrew Luck had, and he look what he's done since he's had surgery. And so you hope that Luck becomes the guy like Drew Brees. You know, how do you predict something like that? It's tough. You know, the labral repairs and recovery as a thrower, you know, there's not a lot of great predicting factors for those. You know, it's a tough recovery, and it's a different shoulder, and, you know, there's probably going to be very few that turn the corner and become great throwers after that procedure.
Dr. Brandon, we'll get caught up again. Great stuff today. Thank you.
Sounds great, Chris. You guys take care. Thanks for the time.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Who's Dudeness or Duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Big Lebowski's classic.
What's the drink in there, White Russian?
Yeah, it's a Caucasian. Danny, are you a Caucasian guy? I mean, hold on a minute.
Rephrase that.
Do you like... hold on. Danny, I think you like Caucasians. Do you like the drink, the White Russians? Are you old enough yet?
I don't think I'm old enough for that.
Oh, really?
I usually...
You're not 21
I mean, no,
yet?
I'm 21, but I haven't had one. If you meant it was like more of an older man's drink, I usually just...
Hold on a minute. That's offensive.
Really. It's not really. I mean, it's... No, it's... I know a lot of younger, because some people, I don't know.
Uncle Andy, like, introduced me to
I always enjoyed
White Russian.
Colorado Bulldog. He has a little twist on it, but.
The White Russian, Uncle Andy made him for me, because I'd never seen Big Lebowski. This was like 5-6 years ago, and it was a snowy Sunday, and money was down that we weren't going to have school, so we just got after it.
There you go.
And you know, and the movie was hilarious, but I still have his... God, it's like $8 for this vodka.
Like that cheap?
Yeah.
Like Barton's?
Yes, yeah. I still have it. That's what he brought over.
That stuff's brutal.
And we have it still. It's in the car. It's moved with us like three times. halfway tempted to, you know, see if it'll start the car.
Yeah, I usually just stick to whiskey and Coke.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wrong.
Danny, the producer. Danny Burke. Okay, and I love the Pirate. Coach Leach will be on with this here in the next week or so. And, I mean, he is priceless. And the rest of the world's found out what we've known for forever. And that is, yeah, football's awesome to talk with him, but so is about everything else. Like, I don't know, Bigfoot.
I hope there's Bigfoot. I don't think there is. The reason I don't think there is because we found bones of dinosaurs and everything else, but we haven't found bones that I've heard of Bigfoot. Aliens, I suspect there is, and I don't know that they're...
We're on to aliens.
They're little green men, and I don't know that they're specifically in our galaxy. Why wouldn't God build other Earths in other places? Why only this one? You know, and even if you're an evolution guy and lightning striking mud and, you know, popping in, they say, well, the notion of God is far-fetched. Oh, really? Striking mud and then light, you know, sparking out of there and then it going like that? Well, I mean, well, that's just such an obvious, easy path to follow.
The Pirate's on fire. More on aliens. Cut 10 here if we have time. As Leach covered it all, I didn't hear. It was the end of the press conference, so that's the time you lob him the what are you binge watching or let's talk about creationism and evolution.
Aliens, I suspect there is, and I don't know that they're they're little green men, and I don't know that they're specifically in our galaxy. I mean, because I look at it this way. You know, first of all, like something about lightning strikes mud and then it sparks a beetle or, you know, and all that other business, you know, I don't happen to believe that. I take more the biblical approach on this whole thing, which, to me, why only this planet? Why only us? I mean, if it can happen here, I mean, it to me, it's always been naive, you know, on Earth, they say, oh, well, we're the only ones. Really? Why?
Okay, thank you, Leach. Real quick, Bird, Nebraska-Oregon score.
42-24, Oregon.
Okay, 42-24, Ducks, says the Bird. Will be at Applebee's Friday. Back to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity. Thanks.